Hallelujah. 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 Praise the mighty Yah. Yah's righteous. And Yah's holy. Well, that was Yah's service singing some great songs to the Most High. We're going to continue to sing some great songs to the Most High, just in a different way. We'll bring up my elder. The elder been teaching for over 25 years. And he is the host. Every sixth night, rather. He's about to bring some excellent words of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the fear of Elohim. So with no further ado, a great beloved elder of Israel, Morey Ishaya ben Yisrael. Hallelujah.
Let us rise. Let us face the east so we can give all honor and praise and glory to the mighty Yah. Almighty Yah, creator of the universe, Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, thy servants humbly come before thee on this great and glorious day, even this Shabbat day, that thou hast adorned before us. We come before thee humbly, Almighty Yah, thanking thee once again for thy goodness, loving kindness, and tender mercies. Thank you, Almighty Yah, for thy great righteous ways, thy spirit that thou hast even put upon us. For truly, Almighty Yah, we are here this day because of thy commandments. We bow ourselves unto thee and humble ourselves before thee, Almighty Yah. For there is no Elohim but thee. There is none beside thee. There is none that can be compared unto thee, and there is none that can be likened unto thee. So, Almighty Yah, we ask that thou would even allow thy spirit to come into our hearts, our minds, even our spirits, even this day, that we might continually meditate in our ways, speak thy truth, and walk righteously before thee. Continue to bless our hands, Almighty Yah, that we might do thy works and fulfill thy desires. And please, Almighty Yah, wherever thy people are, please forgive them for all the sins and iniquities and transgressions that they have committed against thee. For we all love thee with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might. And please, Almighty Yah, remember the covenant that thou hast even made with our foreparents, that one day, Almighty Yah, that thou would even give us that heart of flesh, that we might return unto thee, so thou can return unto us. Well, we love you, Yah. We thank you, Yah. We honor you, Yah. We praise you, Yah. And we worship you, Yah, from this time forth and forevermore, by saying hallelujah.
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 Praise the mighty Yah.
Praise the mighty Yah.
Yah is righteous.
And
Yah
is holy.
And one more thing, Yah. Please, Almighty Yah, we receive. Let it cause nourishment to our body and health to our bones. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise Almighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Amen. You may be seated. Again, let me say Shabbat Shalom to all our beautiful brothers and sisters here at the House of Israel, Shabbat Shalom. And let me say Shabbat Shalom to all the brothers and sisters that's listening by the way of internet. And Shabbat Shalom to all brothers and sisters that's listening by the way of Blog Talk on the phones. Truly, I know the only reason that you are listening is because of your fear towards Elohim. Again, thank the mighty Yah for allowing me to come before you once again on another glorious Shabbat day. We don't take these days and these weeks and these months and these years for granted. The Almighty truly, as Naftali said, he can take us at any time. And you'll be surprised how many did our lives throughout the days and throughout the nights, and not just us, but also our children. Because when we sleep and our eyes close, who do you think watching them? The Most High, the Most High. I praise the mighty Yah for our brothers and sisters, also who's they're not visitors. They are family, but they're here today with us because the Almighty guided them here for whatever reason. I just want to say praise the mighty Yah for that. Hallelujah. A lot of people been here for a long time. Ray Vaya, his wife, Sister Simone, she's here. Hallelujah. So this is a great Sabbath. And before we get into our lesson today, I want to just share with everyone, as many of you all know, a couple weeks ago, we went to Virginia. We went all over the country, letting our people know we have to seek the Most High. And we have to seek His righteousness as well as His meekness, that we might be healed in the day of Yah's anger. And make no mistake about it, Yah will return. But He will return with His anger. And the Most High give us the instruction on how to be spared in the day of Yah. But one thing you don't want to do, you don't want to look for, you don't want to say, man, I can't wait till this day comes. That you don't want to do. But know for certain, and after coming back from Virginia, it was crystal clear for me that after seeking righteousness, after seeking meekness, that now it's time to execute the very thing that we sought for, and that is righteousness and humility. And of course, the Creator had started showing me various things about righteousness that we needed to know. And we need to execute. The scriptures say in the book of Isaiah 56:1 that the Creator's salvation is near to come, and His righteousness is to be revealed. And so there's a lot of things that we're going to learn, because you can't learn, you can't be saved, you cannot have salvation unless you learn righteousness. Righteousness is an essential ingredient to being saved. This is why the Creator saved Noah, because He said Noah found grace in His sight. And He said Noah was a perfect and upright man. In other words, Noah was righteous in his generation. And of course, he was saved. Abraham, another one. Grace in the sight of the Most High. So much grace that when Abraham stood before the Most High, when the Creator desired to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he was able to plead for Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, would the judge of all do wrong? What if there's just 10 righteous in this city? Because there is no salvation without righteousness. There's none. And the Almighty is going to give everybody the opportunity to be right. And those that have passed us, they already gone. They have already gone the way of life. The Almighty knows. See, Yah judge the hearts. So the Almighty knows that if I had taught this person righteousness, they would have served me. And so the Almighty know all the ones that passed us by, who He can return, because if He gave them His word, they will actually do it. They will actually be righteous. And there's many that are still alive that won't do His word, even if He came Himself and told them, right in their ear, they still wouldn't do it. So the Creator is the judge of all. But this righteousness is essential. So what we decided to do, our next conference, which will be held the last weekend in July, Hattiesburg, Mississippi. We had never been to Hattiesburg. So we will be in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And there we will deal with righteousness. But not just righteousness. We had to make the crooked things straight. And so from now until that time, especially that time, we will be dealing with the righteousness of men. In other words, men have been real crooked in Israel. And there is nothing lower than a man on earth than an Israelite. That is the lowest man on earth. And the reason why is because the Creator gave the Israelite man, according to the book of Amos, the third chapter, according to the book of Psalms 147, He said he showeth his word unto who? And his statutes and judgments unto who? He has not dealt with any nation. And as far as his judgment, they have not what? It makes sense that other people don't know how to treat their women. It makes sense if they don't know how to treat their wives and their daughters and their mothers and the widows. But it don't make sense at all for Israel not to know. So we got to make the crooked things straight. Because how can we go before Yah? How can we be servants of Yah? How can we be man of Elohim and we don't know the basic fundamentals on how to treat a woman? This is basic. This is the beginning of righteousness. When the Most High made man, one of the first things he told man was that it's not good for man to be a what? To be alone. Have you all ever asked yourself why? Why isn't it good for man to be alone? Since it's no good for him to be alone, why? And then after the Creator declared that it's not good for a man to be alone, he gave him someone that will make things good. And who did he give? He gave a woman. And this woman he took from man and made them one. And so the very thing that stopped us from being not so good is the very thing we have treated very bad. And look what the Creator said. I think I showed this in Virginia, but I want you to see this once again in the book of Ezekiel, the 9th chapter. And while we're going to the book of Ezekiel, the 9th chapter, because like I said, this is what we're going to be dealing with at our conference, because the crooked things have to be made straight. And we can't walk with our heads high. We can't walk around like we are the chosen people of Yah, and we just don't know how to treat our family. It's a contradiction. The Creator said his people are supposed to be the light of the world. And look what it says in Ezekiel, the 9th chapter. And I'm going to start at the first verse.
Read. He cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand.
So as you can see, the Almighty is bringing destruction. But little do you know, this is not a man on earth. Watch what this says.
And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man amongst them was clothed with linen, with a writer's ink horn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar.
Mm-hmm.
And the glory of the Elohim of Israel was gone up from the sheriff, whereupon he was to the threshold to the house. And he called to the man, clothed with linen, which had the writer's ink horn by his side. And Yah said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof.
Yeah, mark those that cry for the abominations that's going on in the very cities. Mark those who cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Ain't pride an abomination? Ain't haughtiness an abomination? Slandering isn't an abomination. Murder is an abomination. Ain't sowing discord an abomination? All these abominations that is committed every day, people are not sighing about them. People are participating in them. These are things that the Creator see as an abomination. Feet that swift in running to mischief. These are abominations. We stay away from certain abominations, maybe what we eat. We'll stay away from that. We'll stay away from certain other abominations. Don't mess with no man's wife. But yeah, there's a lot of abominations we proudly participate in. And Yah is not going to stand for it anymore. Because watch what happens.
And to the others he said, in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house.
So in other words, they began at the what? At the top. At the altar, where all the abominations is actually learned. This is where they learn the abominations at. Right at the altar. Right at the podium. Right at the top. Right at the head of the house. This is where they learning it at. This is where the children get it. This is where the women get it. It flows downhill. But who's sighing about it? Who crying about it? Of course, all the victims are crying. But if you're not a victim, where's your tears for all these atrocities that are taking place? Where's the justice? Where is the crying out? See, when you're crying out against something, let somebody be raped. And the one that is raped supposed to cry out, hey, no, stop. But nobody is crying for these abominations. To the women that's crying in their own homes, to the children that's crying in their own homes, nobody crying. They just hear it, they listen to it, and they have pity on it, but nothing is done. And then, but watch what it says.
Verse 7. And he said unto them, defile the house, and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city.
Yeah, and the Almighty didn't even care about the house being defiled, because this was greater than the abomination of defiling his house, because this was his holy people. In other words, his house is defiled anyway, because his people are the ones who are supposed to sanctify the house. So it's defiled, so I might as well go ahead and defile you. And watch what it says.
And it came to pass, while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried, and said, ah, Yah Elohim, will thou destroy all the residue of Israel, and thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem.
And this was just horrific to the prophet Ezekiel because he just seen a vision of this. And he said, will you kill all the remnant of the house of Israel? Everybody guilty? And y'all looking at Ezekiel like, wait, where was the crying when this was happening to everybody else? Now that it's happening to the ancients, now that it's happening to the men, now that I brought it to the altar, you're crying. But where was the crying before this went down? And look how y'all answered Ezekiel.
Then said he unto him, unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Yehuda is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, Yah hath forsaken the earth, and Yah seeth not. And as for me also, my eyes shall not spare.
My eyes shall not spare.
Neither will I have pity.
And I'm not going to have no pity.
But I will recompense their ways upon their heads.
Mm-hmm.
And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me.
I've done as thou hast commanded me. I did your work. I killed them. And I didn't spare, and I didn't pity. And what the Creator is letting us know that this day is sure to come. It's sure to come. See, the man want to be the head. But to be the head, you got to be the head. And that means you're responsible. And that responsibility starts at home. That's where it starts. And the scriptures say, before pride, there's what? Or pride coming before destruction. And humility comes before what? So this is a real good time for men to be what? Who said it? Humiliated. Because you're not going to be humble until you're humiliated. You got to come down real low. And you have to be shown something that you didn't even think in your mind. Because until you are humiliated, you're not going to get no honor. Because you're going to keep doing the same old thing over and over and over. And then you're going to pass it down to your sons, and they're going to do it. And your son's sons, and they're going to do it. And then everybody's going to do it. Until you're humiliated. Now, it's best that we find it in our heart to humiliate ourselves. The scripture said a broken heart, a contrite spirit, Yah won't what? He won't despise. And I tell people, break your own heart. Break your heart. Because if you wait and let Yah break your heart, my goodness, don't you see what he has already prophesied to do? He's not going to spare, nor shall he what? Pity. And let me show you where this all began. And how it began in the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter. I asked my beloved brothers last week, showed them that, look, y'all had a covenant, just like you got a covenant with your wife. Y'all wrote down his covenant. Now, how many of y'all wrote y'all covenant? Just raise your hands and that'll be suffice. How many of y'all wrote your covenant since we talked? Raise your hand. All right, we got one person, and that's pitiful. Yeah, wrote their covenant, their marriage covenant. In other words, so that I'm not talking about the sisters. I'm talking about the brothers. The reason why I'm talking, and I'm glad the sisters writing theirs too, because they should. But I'm saying, see, Yah is our what? He's our husband, and they the husbands. They the fathers. And the Creator, he said, his word will not come back what? Void. So when things start going bad in your marriage, you say, wait a minute. According to this, you said you would love me. You said you would protect me. You said you will provide for me. You said you will take care of me and feed me and clothe me in good times and in bad times. But now times is bad, and I don't see where you at. Well, you didn't do this. Well, that ain't in the covenant that you wrote. That ain't the words that you said. These are the words you said right here. Now, where is the man of his word? Yah's a man of his word because he wrote his, and then he took it to the people, and the people said, all that you have said, we will what? We will do. And Yah said, cool. Let's go. Let's walk together. You my wife. But do the wife have that from the Israelite man who Yah said he gave his word to, gave his commandments to, his statutes to, his judgments to? Isn't Yah our example? Well, why ain't we following it? Watch what it says in the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter. In the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter, starting at the very first verse,
it reads, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And Yah said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years.
So the Almighty seen what was going on in the earth, and he said, man, this is madness. This is madness. And he said, look, my spirit is it just not going to always strive with man. And this was so mad to the Most High that he took man living hundreds of years all the way down to what? 120 years. Because this was madness to the Most High. And how did this begin? What was the last straw? Because it could have been all kind of abominations happening. But what was the last straw? What was the thing that broke the camel's back? What was the thing that the Almighty identified and said, enough is enough? Well, let me tell you. He said, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters was born unto them, that the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they was. They're like, why are you just doing anything, living any kind of way? Don't you know that when I made man in my image and my what? And my likeness. Now, just because you see a man out there, that don't mean every man is in the image and the likeness of Elohim. The Almighty has sons that's in his image and his likeness. And what do the word likeness mean? That's right. It's characteristics. So in other words, if it's characteristics, that means your characteristics are like whose? They like the Most High. In other words, the Most High loving, then you should be what? He's kind. He's just. He's merciful. That's what your characteristics should be. Because you made in his image and his likeness. And if you made in his likeness, you're not just going to choose any daughter. You're just not going to be with any woman. Because you know that it's not good for man to be alone. And if you know this, then if you chose just any daughter, you might as well be alone because you done took part in something that ain't what? That ain't good. Yeah, I know it ain't good. That's why he identified it and said they took daughters of men of all that they chose. They just seen them and they took them. And look what the Creator said. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with what? Y'all know what the word strive means? I'm not going to just be wrestling all day, judging all day with this man trying to get him to do what's right. This man just going to have to die. And he's going to have to die earlier than I expected him to die, because I'm just constantly striving, trying to get him to do the right thing. And how hard is it to be right? How hard? Well, it's really not that hard. And this is why the Creator said this. Because this driving, Yah was just getting tired of. He was grieved about this. Look what it says, fourth verse.
There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of Elohim came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And Elohim saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually.
And this is just evil. This man ain't doing no good. Because if you don't know yet, there is no righteous generations. There is no righteous seed. There is no holy seed without holy matrimony. It just don't exist. And if you don't have holy parents and a man that has a holy mind, the earth is in trouble. And so, and it starts with the man. That's where it begins. And you have to be like the Most High. And the Almighty gave you the ability to be like him. All his commandments, all his statutes, all his judgments make you like him. But Israel say, well, we're keeping the law. We're Torah-based. We're keeping the laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments of the Most High. Well, the scriptures say, when the righteous are in authority, the people what? But when the wicked is in authority, the people what? And do you see the houses of Israel? Do you see them mourning or rejoicing? They in great mourning. Great mourning. All you got to do is talk to the women. All you got to do is look at the children. Many of the children come up. They're not even serving Yah. They don't even know Yah, because they're mourning. They're mourning, great mourning. And why? All because of this great wrestling with the Most High. And it's not difficult. It's not hard. But now that the whole earth is out of course, all because of us, now we got to acknowledge our sins. We have to acknowledge them. And that's where the humility come in at. If we don't acknowledge them, we can't even move forward. We want, in other words, acknowledging means you're going to be honest. You're going to be truthful. And you're going to acknowledge your wrongdoing. And you're going to acknowledge the fact that everything wrong started with you. Now, that's a hard pill to swallow. But if you swallow it now, you might be spared later. And then after you acknowledge, then you still got to atone. You can't acknowledge something and then don't atone for it, make amends for it. You got to atone for it. The Almighty said in our laws that when you ignorant of a law, and then it come to your mind, and you be found guilty, then you can atone for it. And now we got to realize it ain't the, you know, we point the finger. No, it's not them that's messed up. It's us. It's us. We want it to be the van. We want it to be the head. It seemed popular and good to be the man and be the head. Now we got to walk the walk. Because all we've been doing is talking the talk. And watch what the Creator do as a result of what man did. Watch just the calamity that started from the top. Continue reading.
Verse 6. And it repented Yah that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And Yah said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creepy thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented of me that I have made them.
And I asked myself, I said, what did the beast do? What did the creeping thing do? What did the fowl of the air do so bad that they had to be destroyed? And who's crying for them? Who's thinking about them? Of course, we're supposed to have dominion over all the what? Even the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, the beasts of the earth, and every creeping thing. We are the rulers. But because of the imagination of our evil hearts, Yah destroyed the creeping thing, the beast, the fowl, all because of us. And this is why the earth is mourning today. Because the man refused to do the right thing. Now, Yah will give a man the opportunity to make the crooked thing straight. Now, he knows that it won't be a lot of men. He knows it's not going to be, they're going to be breaking out the door to try to do the right thing. He knows that. But since we don't know who that man is, we got to tell every man, we got to show every man that we possibly can how wrong we really are. We don't know what we think we know. And we know where we think we are. Because in our eyes, we righteous. We keep the law. We doing this. We doing that. But yet, the earth, especially our families, are in mourning. Great mourning. You know it, and I know it. All because we are striving with our Maker. We're striving. And Yah said, I just can't strive with you. I just can't keep striving with you. Because that's what's going on. Look what he said in the book of Isaiah 45. Today, we have no covenants. And we know we don't have no covenants because everything we said, it was just words. And we never even kept it. We never even kept the words that came out of our mouth. So how can we say we have a covenant? Then the Creator told us to be one. How are you one and you're so divided? In the book of Isaiah 45, verse 9,
reads, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioned it, what makest thou, or thy work? He have no hand.
In other words, we constantly, consistently, over and over, we just striving with our Maker as if we made ourselves. Questioning the Most High. People in whom there is no faith at all. Almighty went to Abraham and said, look. Or Abraham actually went to the Most High and said, look, you said I found favor in thy sight and you with me, but you give me no seed. So what I'm going to do, I don't even have seed. The steward in my house is this Eliezer. And Almighty said, you're going to have seed. Look up in the sky. and count them stars. And you know what Abraham did? He said, no, I believe you. And he counted to him as what? Because there is no salvation without righteousness. And but us, we will question it. We will question the Most High. Well, how is that going to happen, Yah? If my seed going to be a star, how is that going to happen? How would it be manifested? In other words, we just keep going and on, not showing that we believe, but showing that we what? Don't believe. Today, we're questioning the Almighty on stuff that's easy. We'll read it right in His Word, and we'll question it. As if we don't understand what it's saying. We'll make ourselves not understand it. A people in whom there is no faith at all. No faith. Is it hard when the Almighty said, thou shalt not murder, or thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor? Everybody can understand that. But then as soon as the Creator say, thou shalt not go up and down in front of our people as a talebearer, then we don't understand that. We act like we don't understand that, so we'll go around talking about people, spreading gossip. We act like that commandment don't even exist. The Almighty said, hate not thy brother in thy heart. Love thy neighbor as thy what? We act like we don't understand that. We do it anyway. And the Almighty is striving with our spirits, trying to get us to understand that He's the maker. Just do what He said. He's Elohim. He's the one that made us. Then when the Creator tells us this, when a man leave his father and his mother, cleave unto his wife, and they shall become what? One. Holy seed, you can't have no righteous generation. This is how you get righteous generations, from a holy seed. But we're striving with our Maker, and we don't have to, but we have. And since we have, we got to come to the undeniable truth that we have to acknowledge what we've been doing. We got to atone for it. And then we got to make a pledge to do the right thing. And it starts at home. It starts at home. The Almighty said, return unto me and I shall what? And for some strange reason, it's so hard to return for people. It's hard for people to admit that you're the man, but you're not acting like the man. Just to show you what a man supposed to act like. In the book of Psalms, turn there. Psalms 82. Starting at the very first verse, watch what this says.
Elohim standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth amongst the Elohims. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah.
In other words, all we're doing is accepting the persons of the wicked. We know what's going on in every Israelite community. We know what's going on in every Israelite house. We really know what's going on because it's going on in our house. And what is it? Unjust judgment. The Almighty told us that a just balance, a just weight, a just meat yard shall ye have in all your house. In all your house. And this is not difficult to do when righteousness is your goal. Continue reading.
Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hands of the wicked.
In other words, we're supposed to be defending the poor and fatherless. Ain't that what y'all do? Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. And deliver. And what do the word deliver mean? That's it. You got to rescue. How many people y'all been rescuing? Have anybody rescued anybody? It says rescue the poor and needy. And not only rescue them, rid them out of the hand of the what? The wicked. Every day we persecuted by the wicked. Every day. Is there a deliverer? Is there somebody to rescue us? Well, I thought it's supposed to be the judges of the earth. And who is that? That's supposed to be Israel. And who rules Israel? The Most High. In other words, you got everything you need to do your what? To do your job. To run your house. To help the poor. To help the needy. To plead for the widow and the father. You got everything you need. Well, what do? You just join everybody else. Monkey see, monkey do. Fifth verse.
They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
And that's what I mean by acknowledging. See, once we say, man, the foundations of the earth is out of course, you know what we do? We say, yeah, y'all got it like that. Well, why do y'all have it like that? Why do the Most High have all the foundations of the earth out of course? Well, it's because of judges. It's because of the judges. And who are the judges? Israel. We're the judges. Sixth verse.
I have said, ye are Elohim.
I mean, oh my goodness, ye are Elohim, ye are princes. You are judges. What else can he say to you to get you to understand that you ain't been a prince to him? You ain't been a judge to him. You ain't even been a man. What else he got to say? And all of you are the children of the Most High. How hard, what words he got to say to plead to you that it started and ended with you. The crooked things can be made straight. And who is the crooked thing? A lot of times people say, well, I don't hate this person. I just hate what they do. Well, who you think doing the hate? In other words, who doing the evil? I just hate the evil they doing, but that person ain't evil. In other words, you separate the person from the evil. It's impossible. Because once you separate the evil, then they must be what? Good. But they ain't good. They evil. You can't separate evil from me if I'm evil. If you say, well, what he's doing is evil, you must be saying what? I'm evil. You can dress it up, fix it up, all you want. But the truth is, the buck stops with us. And we're not judges. We're not men. We're not the people that Yah chose us to be. But we can be. And I'm going to show you how we can be. But we can't if we ain't going to acknowledge it. We waiting for Yah to come and wave a wand over our head to make us right. Did not Yah say his word is very near unto us? Did not he say it's not in heaven and say who can go get it for us? It's not across the sea, who can go over there to get it for us? But the word is very what? Yeah, you don't have to dig up nothing. You don't have to find the Dead Sea Scrolls to do the right thing. All you have to do is call upon Yah with your whole heart. But you're not going to do it if you already think you're right. And if you're right as you think you are, then why aren't we seeing it? Why isn't being manifested in the earth? Why isn't being demonstrated and then we can see some people rejoicing? Let me see your family just rejoice. Man, my Alva, my uncle, my brother, man, they righteous, they good, man. I'm just happy. But is that happening? No. We're just all the way backwards. The women taking care of the men. The women the one pleading for themselves and the widow and the children. But what are we doing? What are we doing? It says, but ye shall die like men, because you was something real good. You was high. You was in the image and the likeness of Elohim. And fall like the one of the princes. You know how a prince falls? It's hard for a prince to fall, because once you're a prince, you just got one more step, and you can be king. So for a prince to fall, you got to be low. And we're low. Yeah, we talk, and we got titles of Nazi, but we ain't no Nazis at all. That's it. And worse than that, you know what's worse than Nazi without genealogy? Nazi without action. That's worse. Because you can look like a prince and walk like a prince and talk like a prince and not even be a prince. And you can be a prince and you ain't nothing but a dog. Well, see, this is the thing. And see, this is the thing. Even if you knew all the laws, all the commandments, all the statutes, all the judgments of the Most High, he still put this man ahead of you. Just, well, yes, the husband. When I say the man, I'm talking about the husband. Yes. Yes. In other words, ask yourself this. Y'all going on a trip. You know where you're going. He don't know where he's going. Who going to drive? Well, you going to drive because you know where you're going. Well, the way the Most High designed it, man, you fool, you're supposed to be driving her, not her driving you. That's out of order. And yeah, I do mean that literally. Yeah, yeah. I know you're a truck driver. I know you're a truck driver. I already know. I know. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not, well, yeah, I, yeah. No, that's, yeah, but that's not my point. But I understand your point. My point is, if the men knew more law and did more law, then everything will go better. Yeah. Then everything will go better. Yeah. See, that's the thing about the earth. We have the opportunity to influence. We have the opportunity to influence behavior in the earth. We have that opportunity. Look what the Creator said in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 42. Starting at the 18th verse.
Isaiah 42 and 18 reads, "Hear ye deaf."
Now, do you hear me, sis? Sis, you hear me. You can keep the law perfectly, but how's that going to help me? Yes, but I'm saying, right, but I'm saying, how is you keeping the law going to help me? Yeah, that's my question. Because that's our protocol, but I asked you a question, so, but it always go back to the man, and that's my point. Yeah. That is the truth. Hallelujah. And that's my point. My point is still go back to the gatekeeper. That's my point. Yes. I hadn't even said what I was going to say before you said what you was told. I didn't even say that. I just said before, and then you started talking. Before you get to how you dressed, before you get to what you eat, before you get to doing anything according to the laws, commandments, and statutes and judgment, before all that, you still have to learn this from who? You still got to learn this from a man. It still goes back to the man. So in other words, this is my only point. See, if a woman don't know how to dress, you might can say, well, that's her husband's fault. That's the gatekeeper's fault. That's the priest's fault. That's the prince's fault. That's the Moray's fault. But it's still always going back to the man. And my point, and this is my point, my point is, this is why the earth is out of course. If it's not, then the Almighty would have never destroyed the earth by a flood. Because these men took daughters of all which they what? Which they chose. Who are the priests? The priests are what? Aren't they men? Ain't they the ones who teach the clean from the unclean, the holy from the unholy? It's them. And I'm saying we have to get that right. We have to get that right. I'm not talking about the differences that one might have from camp to camp. I'm not talking about our differences. I'm talking about what happened in your own home. I'm talking about what happened in your house. I'm talking about what's happening every day, not what's happening on a Sabbath day. I'm talking about what's happening every day and every night. And let me show you something. First, in the book of Isaiah 42, that's where we are. That's where we're at. It says, "Hear ye deaf and what?
Look ye blind, that you may see."
Okay, go ahead.
"Who is blind but my servant?"
Who is blind but my servant? Go ahead.
"Or deaf as my messenger that I have sent."
Who is this messenger that he sent to tell you all these things, to teach you these things, to guide you in these things, to raise you in these things, to rear you in these things? Go ahead.
"Who is blind as he that is perfect?" and blind as Yah's servant, seeing many things, but thou observest not.
You're seeing things, but you're not observing them.
Opening the ears, but he heareth not.
But you're not, your ears is there. They open, but you're still not hearing. Go ahead.
Yah is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable.
See, everything that Yah gave us, he's well pleased with it. He's well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He don't have no issues. He don't have no problems with the things that he has told us, that he has commanded us, that he made as law. He don't have no problem with it. Matter of fact, he's well pleased with it. Well pleased with it. But he said he was going to magnify the law and make it what? Honorable. And I'm saying, you got camps that believe all kind of different things. And that's a fact. And the Creator said he was going to make the crooked things straight. But there's things that should be happening every day that just simply ain't happening. That has nothing to do with how you dress, what you eat. It has everything to do with how you talk to one another, how you look at one another when you don't agree with them, how you treat them, how you shalom. You say shalom, but you really don't mean shalom. You saying it, but I don't feel it. That's what you do every day with your mouth. You can be covered up. I done seen people in great garments, but out of their mouth, it ain't shalom. And I've seen people with tight pants, and they meant shalom. They meant it. So, but Yah is well pleased with this. And if we don't start every day in our homes, what makes you think we're going to come to Yah's sanctuary and mean shalom? And exemplify the ways and the actions that the Creator left on record for us to do. See, the Creator identified what is good to him. And let me show you what. And there's something that he said was the law also, but we don't do it. And watch what he said in the book of Micah, the 6th chapter. And it says this in the 6th verse. Oh, it starts at the 5th verse.
Reads, O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him for Shittim unto Gilgal.
In other words, y'all know what he did? What Yah is telling you to remember? Well, he's telling you, he's telling you to remember the fact. Remember this soothsayer stood up there, and this Balak told this soothsayer to curse Israel. That's what he told him. Curse Israel. Don't bless them. And this soothsayer said, how can I curse what Yah has blessed? And then watch what happened. Go ahead.
That you may know the righteousness of Yah.
That and I want you to remember this so you can know the righteousness of Yah. If you really want to know his righteousness, and I want you to know his righteousness, because there is no salvation without the righteousness of Yah. Let's see what he said, what his righteousness is. Go ahead.
Wherewith shall I come before Yah and bow myself before the high Elohim?
Since you want to know how to come before me and bow yourself before me, if that's your question, this is the answer.
Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will y'all be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?
In other words, are these the things that y'all really looking for and want us to do? He's going to tell you. It's not hard. Go ahead.
He have shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does Yah require of thee, but to do justly.
Now, what is justly? What is justly? That's right, to be balanced, to be fair, to have equity. Ain't that the law? It says a false balance is an abomination unto who? And that balance don't come because how tall you are, how short you are, how big you are, how skinny you are, that balance comes from your heart. That's where it comes from, your heart. And we have no balance. We have no balance. We off balance, as a matter of fact. To do justly and what?
And to love mercy. And to walk humbly with thy Elohim.
What do love mercy mean? We don't love no mercy. Soon as we get an opportunity to smite down, we're going to do it. Soon as we get an opportunity to show how much we know. Soon as we get an opportunity to execute, that's what's going to be done. But to love mercy? You know how many things y'all done allowed y'all to get away with? So much. And then you thank y'all for his mercy, but you really don't mean things because you don't even show it yourself. And then he said to love mercy and to do what? To walk humbly, to have humility. See, because if you walk this way and you love this way and you're just, then everything you should know, you will know. You will know it. This is what the Most High want us to know about him. Because if you really know this about him, then you'll notice this is what you should be about. In the book of Jeremiah, the 9th chapter. The 23rd verse.
Jeremiah 9:23 reads, thus saith Yah, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom.
Yeah, you're just telling me all your wisdom. All right, fine, you wise. You got a lot of wisdom. But you're not supposed to glory in it anyway. Go ahead.
Neither let the mighty man glory in his might.
I know you're strong, courageous, and all that. But you're not supposed to glory in it.
Let not the rich man glory in his riches.
Yeah, I know you got money. I see it. I see it on your neck. I see it in your driveway. I see your riches.
But let him that glorieth glory in this.
Now, if you really want to impress us, this is how you can impress us. This is how you can impress me. This is how you can impress the Most High himself. Says
that he understandeth and knoweth me.
Now, if you really know Most High, and you really knowing, this is what you're going to know.
That I am Yah, which exercise loving kindness.
Now, why, out of all the things the Almighty wants you to know about him, he wants you to know that he exercises, the word exercises what? Yeah, you practicing. You doing it. See, when you exercise doing jumping jacks or you sprinting, whatever you doing it. Well, Yah doing this. He's exercising loving kindness. If he's doing it, and we know he's doing it, and we know that's what he do, then why are we doing it? How are we showing loving kindness? You can show kindness all day long, but Yah shows loving kindness. Go ahead.
Judgment.
Judgment. And judgment is righteousness. And what?
In the earth. For in these things I delight, saith Yah.
Yeah, he delight in these things. He's impressed with these things. These are the things that he desires. And we hear a lot of talk, but we don't see a lot of exercising. Because if we did, would not we be a better people? Would not we be a better community? Would not we be a better nation if we were doing the things that we supposed to know about the Most High? But we glory in ourselves. We glory in our riches and our wisdom and our might. That's what we're doing. And who gets anything out of that but the person they self? Y'all don't even get nothing out of it. And y'all want something out of it because that's what he made you for. He made you for his glory. That's what you was designed for. That's what you were chosen for his glory, not your own. Not your own. Everything you're doing should bring glory to him. Especially the words that's coming out of your mouth. And everything y'all do is for his glory. Let me ask y'all this question. And this question is from the book of Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter. The Almighty told us we're supposed to plead for the widow and the fatherless. I'm curious, why didn't he say we're supposed to plead for the motherless? Why are we not supposed to plead for the motherless? Don't mothers die too and leave their children to the fathers by themselves? Yes, ma'am. Well, I agree with a lot of things you said, but even if, yeah, yes, yes. Well, if that's true, then the Creator, the fatherless children, if they stay with the man, then why did the community have to take care of them? And that is correct. And so that's why I was asking, what if they lose their mother? We can understand when they lose their father. But if they lose their mother, why isn't the same pleading going on? Yes, sir. In other words, the Creator could have easily said, if the children lose their mother or their father, help them out. Plead for them. Defend them. But for some strange reason, he said if they lose their father, then plead for them. Defend them. Help them. Yes, ma'am. All right, very good. Well, let me show you something in the book of Deuteronomy 15. Now I want you to read the, starting at the 7th verse.
It reads,
if there be amongst you a poor man, one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thy hand from thy poor brother.
In other words, if somebody waxing poor in our community. Now, who had the resources in the community to take care of the community? Yeah, the man. No wonder the Almighty said take care of the fatherless children, because the one that has the resources that's supposed to take care of everybody is gone now. Because they the ones are responsible for the community. He gave them the resources to take care of the community. He gave them the land. He gave them the crops. He gave them the skills to go out and work to take care of the family. Now he's gone. Now it's the community's obligation. The same men that he gave the resources to. But watch what this says. Go ahead.
But thou shalt open, verse 8, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need, in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and thy eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him cry unto Yah against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thy heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him.
In other words, you can give it, but you're giving it arrogantly. You're giving it, man, I really don't want to do this, man, but I'm going to help you out anyway. Here. But your heart is grieved. You still didn't keep the law, because the Almighty said when he executes judgment in the earth, he executes loving kindness, judgment, and what? Righteousness. And for some strange reason, that's hard for us to get. We did the law. We gave it. You didn't do no law. That's what you think you did. That's not how Yah executes his laws. Watch what this says.
Because that for this thing, Yah thy Elohim shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thy hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land.
And this is the question. This is the point I was getting to. If Yah is so loving, if Yah is so righteous, if Yah is about judgment, why will there always be poor in the land? He's righteous. He's about judgment. And he said the poor will never cease in the land. Why? Yes, sir.
The Almighty was just exemplifying his balance that he has, because if there's poor amongst us, I mean, if there's rich amongst us, it has to be poor, because that's his balance. And I also think that he was just trying to show us how to love one another and love our neighbor as ourselves. So he would keep the poor in our midst to teach us this is your brother, so look after him or her.
All right. So in other words, if there's righteous in the earth, there's got to be wicked in the earth. Anyone else? Why was there the poor? Yes, sir. That's why it's poor? Okay. Go ahead. All right. So the poor are individuals that are just not keeping the law. They're not being righteous. They're not being just. They're not showing justice. They're not showing loving kindness, tender mercy. They're not doing that. Is that why the poor will never cease in the earth? Yes, ma'am. All right, very good. To try the hearts of the people, because undoubtedly, some men going to die, and somebody got to help with these children, and they might become poor. All right? Yes, ma'am. All right? And the only thing is, the Almighty, who is the creator of all, you don't have to have it that way. You don't have to have some people lame and some people not lame. He don't have to have the poor and the rich. He can make everybody rich. He can make everybody poor. And then we all got the same thing, nothing. He can do whatever he wants. But undoubtedly, his desire is that the poor would never cease. And why? Why do it have to be poor? Oh, I'm sorry, Isha. Yeah.
More than Neftali sent in an answer.
Okay.
You said because Yahweh wants us to always exercise love and kindness.
Well, Neftali is absolutely correct. Because the truth is, if everybody rich, y'all not going to think about each other. Y'all not going to love each other. Y'all just not going to do it. But then you'll have somebody say, well, why I have to be the one that's poor? Why can't I be the one that's rich? And the truth is, because Yah knows every soul. He knows every spirit. He knows every man because he created everything. He knows everybody. And you have people y'all know don't deserve to be rich. And y'all going to take them right out. And the poor, he's going to lift up. He's going to lift right up. But this is y'all execution. This is how you show your righteousness. For every action, there's a reaction. How do I know your action if I don't create the conditions for you to be who I'm looking for you to be? I'm looking for you to be righteous. And so I'm looking at your actions, but there's no conditions set for me to even see it because you don't have to show love to nobody. You don't have to be kind to nobody. You don't have to judge nobody because everybody keeping the what? The law. And in truth, not only you have to show it to one another, show you the forgotten species on the earth. Watch this in Leviticus 25. That's why the Almighty said he's going to mark with the ink horn. Watch what this says. 1 second, Obadiah. And I want to get right to this point. So I said Leviticus 25, but go to Exodus 23. And start at the 9th verse.
Read.
Also, thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt.
All through our laws, the Creator said, remember, I'm the Elohim that brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. All through his laws. Why? Because you're supposed to know the heart of a stranger. So the last thing you should be doing is oppressing anybody because you're supposed to know the heart of a stranger. But yet, oppression takes place every day right in the house, and then you bring it right out the house, and it's brought here, and the Creator is seeing this because you're not remembering. You're not remembering where you came from. Watch what this says. This is the book of the law right here. Go ahead.
In 6 years thou shalt sow thy land, and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and let it lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard.
Yeah, in other words, your execution of loving kindness supposed to be way before you get to the sanctuary. That's supposed to happen at home. Well, who's thinking about beasts? Who's thinking about fowl or the creeping thing? The only people that think about that right now is the Most High. And the only other people that's going to think like that are his servants, his judges. Today, who cries if they happen to run over a cat and hit a dog? That don't mean nothing. I mean, they should have, man, get your dumb tail out the street. But would you do that to a person? Would you hit a child and tell them to get their dumb tail out the street? No, you wouldn't do that to a person. Yeah, think about the beast. Even though you don't. Yeah, I think about the creeping things that you don't have no problem smashing, killing it. You don't have no problem doing all that. But Yah steady feeding. This is what he told Job. This is what he told Job. Are you thinking about the little cubbies when they eat and when they cry? Do you hear them? But this is supposed to be the heart of a judge. Why? Because that's Yah's heart. And Yah executes loving kindness and righteousness in the what? That's what he do. So that's what we supposed to do. You're not executing righteousness that and instead of waiting till you get to a trash can, you just throwing trash all on the ground because you don't care about the earth. That's not what a judge of the earth would do. Judges think about and consider everything. Watch what it says. 12th verse.
6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and thy son and thy handmaid, and the stranger may be refreshed.
In other words, you're not resting just for you. And who is you? The man, the head. Yes, Yah wants you to rest too, but he wants you to really rest so that who can rest? That the ox, because when you rest, your ox going what? If you're righteous. And then your donkey going what? And the son of thy handmaid going what? And the stranger going what? Now everybody can be what? Righteousness runs downhill. These are actions. These are things that nobody can debate and argue. See, I can argue and debate whether the Sabbath day start in the morning or in the evening. We can debate that. Help one another. Whether we're supposed to feed one another. Whether we're supposed to be responsible for one another. Whether we're supposed to love one another. These are things that is just not debatable. Why? Because Yah said this is what he delights in. This is what he executes in the earth. And if he does, should not we do it? And all through his laws, all through his laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments, and even before Yah gave his laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments, they were righteous in the earth. A lot of people say, well, they hit the oral law, and that is true. That is true. For instance, Abraham and Sarah. Sarah was his what? Can y'all marry y'all sisters today? Oh, y'all can't do that. But Abraham was the one y'all told us to look to for what? for righteousness. And so this righteousness is essential if we want to have salvation. And we can't have it until the crooked things are made straight, the head of the table. That's where it begins. Leviticus 19. Just a couple of scriptures, and then we'll take questions, and then we will adjourn. Leviticus 19. Not just questions and comments. Starting at the 9th verse.
Leviticus 19:9 reads, "And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest."
In other words, we had authority to do this because we the ones inherit the land. He the one gave us the land. So we had authority to execute these things. And it says, don't gather the gleanings of your heart. Don't reap the corners of your field. 10th verse.
"And thou shalt not glean your vineyards, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am Yah, your Elohim."
Yeah, leave them for the poor and the stranger. Everywhere we look, we're dealing with Yah's loving kindness, judgment and righteousness that he executed in the earth. No wonder y'all so angry at us, because this is exactly what we're not doing. We're not executing no love. What kind of love we executing? We talking like Israel. We looking like Israel half the time. But we're not executing righteousness. It is what I was looking for. It's in Leviticus 19. If you turn back there. Starting at the 33rd verse.
Leviticus 19:33 reads, "And if a stranger sojourn with you in your land, you shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born amongst you, and you shall love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am Yah, your Elohim."
Go ahead.
"You should do no unrighteousness in judgment, in metiyar, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am Yah, your Elohim, which brought you out of the land of Egypt."
Now, in every way you measure, see, we just measure in some ways, but Yah measure in every way, in every way. So he's just not measuring what you do on the Sabbath day. He measuring how you talk to your husband, how he talk to you, how you raise your kids. He's measuring everything, because everything has to be measured. How can you don't measure and then be balanced? And how can you be balanced or not balanced and then still be righteous? In every way, we got to measure everything we're doing. And that's something that we either don't know how to do or we refuse to do it. But either way, it's sin in either way. If we refuse to do it, we don't know how to do it. It's still sin. And this is what we not alone. There is God's salvation is to